lesson is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, words that should be familiar to you by now. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness and justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, in these moments as we reflect on your word, I pray that you would give us some clarity and understanding. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I debated how to do this today, whether to say goodbye and thank you and all of that, or to deal with the last beatitude, which is one that I've always avoided because nobody likes to talk about persecution. And so, you know, I'm going to try to do both, okay? And it may or may not go well. We'll see. But I'll give it my best shot. First of all, I want to thank Linda and Bill for putting me up when I stayed overnight here. Your hospitality has been wonderful, and I am so grateful. I'm grateful for the support and encouragement that each of you have given me in your own special ways. That's been special. And I have been encouraged by your commitment to serving this community with the food pantry and hosting the free clinic. Both of those endeavors are part of what I believe is the mission of the gospel: living out the teachings of Jesus to help the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and those that are in need. I've been encouraged by conversations that I've had with a number of you who, like me, have discovered that the American history that we learned in school was pretty incomplete and overlooked the Black experience. Who knew about Juneteenth? And who knew about the Tulsa Massacre and the slaughter of 300 wealthy Black folk by an angry white mob back in 1921. So much of this has come out in the last few weeks and months. We are getting a re-education of American history that isn't quite as pristine as we were led to believe. Last week, I discovered that the GI Bill that provided white World War II veterans the ability to buy a new house or get a loan for a new house after the war, because of the way it was constructed and administered, only 2% of Black veterans were enabled to get loans for houses. This is an example of the systemic racism that has plagued our nation since the beginning. Few of us ever give much thought to that. Who knew? We thought everyone benefited from it just like we did. What a surprise. So whether you are aware of this or not, you have walked with me through a transition in my life, an awakening of sorts, if you will. You've not thrown tomatoes at me yet, or rocks, whether you agree with me or not. But my awakening has come through a combination of things, from the COVID-19 pandemic, which changed just about everything that we do as a society right now, along with the murder of George Floyd and others at the hands of police and white supremacists. All of these events have challenged me to look at my faith, what I believe, and how, as a Christian and follower of Jesus, and as a pastor, I need to respond to the injustices that have become so obvious to me. These brutal and unnecessary murders have confronted all of us with the reality that we are privileged because we are white. We have assumed that all people in the United States have had the same opportunities as we have had. But these events and the mostly peaceful protests of the Black Lives Matter movement has brought together people of all nationalities and skin colors. Many of us white folk have been absolutely appalled by what we have seen, and these events have shaken us out of our complacency and rattled our cages, prompted us to act on behalf of those who have been held down for so long. All of that together with the Beatitudes, which speak of righteousness as justice, based on Isaiah 61, which lay the foundation, the Old Testament foundation for the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. In the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, we find that solid biblical foundation for fighting the systemic racism that has plagued our nation since its inception. Some will say that all lives matter, but in light of the systemic racism that exists here in our country, all lives will matter when black lives begin to matter. If we white folk remain silent and do not speak up, then our silence gives tacit approval to the original sin of America. As Christians, we must not look the other way any longer. I cannot look the other way any longer. So this has been part of my journey since I came here to Chippewa. This journey through the Beatitudes has confronted me with my own racism and complicity. I've had to repent of my tacit approval and my silence and fear that someone might not like what I have been led to say. The prophets were persecuted for speaking truth to power, and many of them were killed. Jesus was killed because he spoke truth to power. He welcomed the outcasts, the publicans and sinners, challenged their legalism, their hypocrisy, and they looked for ways to silence him. I'm not telling you any of this to make you feel guilty for being white. We are what we are. We had no choice about that. But I tell you this because this is my journey that has come into focus here and now with the confluence of COVID-19 pandemic, the racial injustice that has finally hit me over the head like a 2x4, the economic crisis that has resulted from the pandemic and the lack of leadership in Washington. All of those things together have created this moment. The Beatitude for today is, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for justice sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A week ago Friday, John Lewis died, congressman from Georgia. He was one of the last of the six leaders of the civil rights movement of the 60s. When he was 23 years old, he was beaten within a breath of his life by white police on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, while he and those with him were seeking voting rights, the right to vote in America. They were persecuted for seeking the right to vote. Seeking the right to be treated as an equal in America, seeking to be able to eat lunch at a counter in a restaurant, seeking to drink water from a fountain, seeking to sit anywhere on a bus. He called it good trouble. His mom always said to him, stay out of trouble. And he said, well, good trouble is facing what is necessary and facing evil. Now minority people continue to fight for the right to vote as white governors and states' attorneys general in many states are reducing the number of polling places in minority communities and making it difficult for minority to vote, making it as difficult for minority voters to vote as they possibly can. People who work for justice, people who work for righteousness in the biblical sense of living according to the will of God are and will continue to be persecuted because they challenge those in power. It's as simple as that. And as followers of Jesus, we need to stand with them. And if we do, we will face opposition and persecution too. Yeah. I hope you can see the connection between the scripture and social justice movement, okay? Because it is there, and it's very important that we begin to understand that and seek to find ways to live that out. Because social justice has to be grounded in scripture. Otherwise, I don't think it stands for much except for change. But anyways, I want to say that I am grateful for the opportunity that I have had to be here with you. Grateful for your hospitality and welcome. I wish I could stay longer, but the time has come when I need to say goodbye, at least for a bit. My body isn't what it used to be. And at some point, I'm going to need to have a hip replace. Right now, it's doing okay, but the arthritis is not going to go away. And there are things that need to get done at home and up north, and I've not been able to do either because I'm not at either place long enough to get them done. But I've really enjoyed my time with you all here in Chippewa. And I wish you the best as you move forward into whatever the future holds for you. I will be back in September, and if all goes well, on a monthly basis after that. So that's where we are today. Let us pray. God of grace, mercy, and peace, I give you thanks for this congregation and ask your blessing to continue with them. Give them strength and wisdom as they move forward on their journey to find a new shepherd. Encourage them. Keep them strong in the faith. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.